When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, Sean. Great. Was that a request or you end up picking that yourself? Well, nope. Done.
That was a request.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. 1990 feels like it was just yesterday. Quick scheduling note. Jelani Tavai, I think, has a meeting at 7:30, so he will now join us at 7:15, just 10 minutes from now on a Patriots Friday. This is Dave in the truck. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Gregory. How are we?
What's up?
Hey, before I get to my what I wanted to say about your lead, every time I call, I want to tell Courtney, my cousin was a Boston College Eagle cheerleader, and she graduated the same year Matt Ryan did.
Oh, very cool. Wow, she's lucky. She got to see some good games.
Her name was Katie Giorgio.
Oh, I know Katie Giorgio.
That's my cousin.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That was known as the BC year, the Curtis years at BC, not the Matt Ryan years. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I'm way older than her. But anyways, Greg, I wanted to talk to you about your lead about Bergeron as maybe being a coach. And I'm a conspiracy theorist guy. And do you think there's any possible way that them players in that locker room are trying to get Montgomery fired, maybe for that reason?
Well, I don't know for that reason. I talked about at the beginning of the show, they don't look like they want to play for this coach, but they already got a guy fired. Mm-hmm. They got a guy fired that, from their perspective, was too much of a hardo. And so isn't this what happens? Don't you get what you ask for? And you bring in a guy who's not a hardo, and then there's an issue when it comes to guys playing hard.
Well, this to me seems more like a Sweeney issue than a Montgomery issue. Like, he's the one who went and signed Zadorov and Lindholm in free agency, and apparently Lindholm, like, can't play with Pastrnak. That just doesn't work. Maybe you should have known that before you went and signed him to a contract, a guy you identified years ago that you wanted, and Zadorov has been horrendous. Like, he gets a penalty every game, and he looks slow as molasses. It's nice to have a big guy who hits hard, but, like, how does that really help you? Like, I don't know. Montgomery has always been a puck possession kind of guy, especially in the offensive zone. It seems like this team wants to play dump and chase and, like, attack in front of the net, which is not what Montgomery does well or coaches well.
Yeah, it's part of the talent. Like, we feel like they do have talent, but it's just the energy level when you watch them play. Where does that come from?
Even like on the power play, like they're back to not shooting the puck.
Well, we talked about this at the game.
Passes, like it's like youth hockey. Like,
right.
You know, you need five touches before you can shoot the
puck.
Well,
we talked about this.
Like a passing drill.
When we went to the Bruins game, Greg, and we just said, look at the difference of the way that the Bruins, you know, possess the puck going into the zone, especially on the power play, versus the way Dallas was doing it. The Bruins, like kind of Shime said, it is this dump and chase to try to get possession down low into the, below the goal line. It just looks like a team that they're not on the same speed level with some of these teams. Yeah. And I would put that on Sweeney then getting guys, building your roster to be bigger, which is now slower.
All right. Well, Scoops Keith yesterday said that Jim Montgomery does not have much time left, and he does have a pretty good Bruins source. So
he does.
We will talk about that with you all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Jelani Tavai coming up in moments on a Patriots Friday. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins drop another one on the season with an 8-2 loss on the road to the Hurricanes. Pasta had the two assists in the game and knows it's a team effort. Here's what he had to say.
We are not good enough as a team, and that's where it starts. I mean, you know, Monty just trying to get us going. So, you know, obviously it doesn't work. So the mixing lines need to happen. So personally, I have no problem with it. You know, I can read up anybody. But, you know, it's just, I said, right now it's not about the combination. We are not good enough as a team. And
I have a question, Greg. How many coaches can a GM hire? Can a GM fire before they're the ones losing their job?
Not a lot.
So this would be three. I don't know how Don Sweeney gets the opportunity to hire a third different head coach.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he just sign a new contract, Don Sweeney?
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Okay. I think so.
You have to ask Chairman.
Yeah, I thought that was this past summer.
And doesn't it feel like an overreaction for a head coach who has been, like, the best head coach in the regular season, mind you, in the NHL the last two seasons, to fire him in the third season because he starts 4-6-1? Like, no, he's been the best regular season coach in hockey the last 2 years.
Chime, the last guy they fired went on to win a Stanley Cup the very next season. So maybe
it's not the coaches that are the problem. Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know, just a stab in the dark here.
Swayman was in goal for this one. He had 16 saves in the loss before getting pulled for Korpisalo, who had 13 saves when he came in. The Celtics are in North Carolina tonight to take on the Hornets. Tip is at 7. Thursday Night Football saw the Jets bounce back against the Texans. Final score 21-13. It is a Patriots Friday. We have Jelani Tavai coming up next ahead of the Pats matchup with the Titans at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, we're going to have a little bit of a giveaway coming up, Greg.
We're doing an auction, I think you told me, for the brunch. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yep. So stay tuned for that. Okay. And speaking of the Patriots, the Dodgers used their plane to... What?
Nothing. No.
The Dodgers used their plane to fly back to the West Coast after winning the World Series. And here in baseball, Lucas Giolito has exercised his $19 million player option for the 2025 season. And cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked homestyle chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, Greg, you ready for the lock of the century?
Yes.
Ohio State, -3 in Happy Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The depraved versus the degenerate. Give me the degenerate. Ohio State covers that 3-point spread relatively easily. They had a brutal game last week against Nebraska. They could have lost. Ryan Day is one loss away from losing his job. They are the most talented team in college football. They will win Saturday at Penn State. Book it.
Mm. All right.
Okay.
By 3 points or more. And it is currently 63 degrees in Boston. Afternoon high, 75.
If he loses his job, does Chip Kelly also? Aren't they attached at the hip?
Because Ryan Day hired Chip Kelly to come to Ohio State. So I would imagine
Would you want Chip Kelly, Ryan Day here when it comes to the New England Patriots? Would you look for that in the future?
As an offensive coordinator?
Yes.
I wouldn't be against Chip Kelly.
Yeah,
Ryan Day.
That.
He's got local, I mean, he's a New Hampshire guy. Yeah.
They're both New Hampshire guys.
Yeah. I mean, I went, and he's kind of, you know, got away from the trying to hurry up what he did when he was in the NFL with that Oregon-style offense, which that just doesn't work. So, you know, I guess it's an opportunity.
Okay. Thank you. We are going to get to Jelani Tavai coming up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Good morning, Jelani.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Anybody have, was there a team Halloween party last night?
No, early night for us. Needed to get some rest.
Did you hand candy out?
No, I live in an apartment, so no trick-or-treating for us.
No trick-or-treaters. All right, well, a lot of talk leading into last week, including with you on this show a week ago, about Gerard Mayo saying that this team had been playing soft and you guys go out, win that football game. How much of a, maybe it wasn't, but how much of a motivating factor for you guys was responding to that?
I mean, I think we were just ready to win. You know, I don't think any of us were taking that to heart. I think a lot of us just, you know, were either trying to prove it wrong or just trying to win the game. So I think the biggest thing for us was just having, you know, the message was just to win, just so we can either, you know, prove them wrong or shut everybody else out. So, yeah, I wasn't really on the back of my mind during the game.
Jelani, as a leader of this team, how proud were you of how not only the offense responded, but the defense as well, too, when Drake went out and Jacoby went in and the support you guys all showed him and the confidence you instilled in him?
Yeah, I mean, regardless on who goes in on the offensive side, we as a defense always will have their back, you know. And, you know, it's something that I always preached before. And I told, I'm sure not just myself when Jacoby went in, but it was one of the first things I did was tell him, like, hey, whatever you do, just do your thing. And we're going to make sure we get the ball back in your hands as many times as we can. So whoever that is this week, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to make sure that we do our jobs on defense so we can get the ball back to the offense as many times as we can.
Jelani, you know, winning changes the vibe down there, and obviously you guys were able to get a win, which changed the vibe. What do you think has been, you know, obviously different as far as now your vibe down there, especially after the win? What do you feel like you guys need to continue to do so you can keep that same vibe and you can keep those winnings piling up?
We just got to keep doing our jobs and like I said, being consistent. That's the stuff that like bites us in the butt when we don't do that. So we're relaying that to everybody, and we know that when we are consistent and doing our jobs, you know, it turns out like that.
Devon Godchow said he was surprised with how slow Aaron Rodgers was. Did you feel the same way?
I can't say the same because he dodged me on the first play when I tried to sack him. So he was quick enough just to get out of reach. So,
Jelani, when you
wait, does he say anything? He seems like he'd be a trash talker.
Who, Aaron?
Yeah.
No, not really.
No.
Does he smell funny? He's got a weird diet. Get that. Jelani, does he smell funny? He has a very strange diet.
I don't know. I think grown men sweaty is a nasty smell enough. So I think everybody's camouflaged it.
Okay.
Jelani, you talked about consistency, and when you play consistent, you guys do well. When you don't, there's issues. What do you think the problem with the consistency is? Is it the lack of focus? Is it the lack of guys maybe not being prepared? Where do you think that inconsistency comes from, in your opinion?
During the week, so far this week, we've been doing a really good job. So I think it's just the lack of doing a job. I don't think anything else, because I feel like we're prepared. When it comes to game time, we got to, you know, put our money where our mouths are. And, it's a lack of doing our job.
I read that the Titans had 9 players miss yesterday's practice. I know it's next man up mentality, but is it more difficult for a defense to prepare for this team when you guys have so many, when there's so many guys with question marks over them?
No, because we're preparing as if all their starters are playing. I'm sure we don't know which quarterback's going to play, but we're like I said, we're preparing for their best team, best players to be out there, and that includes whether or not both quarterbacks play. So, we don't.
Jelani, I know you guys ignore the noise and try and, you know, just focus on your job, but last week it was really a crescendo of critique for your head coach following the team soft comments in London, and it appeared that you guys played for him on Sunday in a game where you lose Drake, all of that. Was there any part of you guys trying to show up on defense so that your head coach maybe got off the hot seat a bit?
Probably, but it's another week, so we're getting ready for Tennessee, and it's just another week to have another great week of preparation and to go out there and showcase why Mayo chose us to be here. So I have no worry about it, and I know that Mayo doesn't listen to the noise as well. So we're just gonna make sure that we're prepared as if this is a really big game, which it is. This is the next one, but we're not really too worried about the noise.
You're on to Tennessee, as you said.
Yeah, we're on to Tennessee. You know, it's a new week. We got some good weather right now, and we're going to make sure we take advantage of it.
Sounds like something the Mermaid Whisperer would have said. All right.
Enjoy Nashville.
Yes. No, don't enjoy it too much.
I appreciate it.
If you could.
Yeah. You guys have a wonderful day.
I would go for a 7 p.m. curfew, maybe. I have to try lowering that a little bit. And,
oh, dear.
Enjoy it down there. And we'll talk to you next week, Jelani.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Okay, man. All right. That is Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday here at WEEI.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, where do you want to start this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's begin with the guy Curtis thinks might smell funny. That would be the one and only Aaron Rodgers.
Probably smells like patchouli. Like
absolutely.
I would imagine he is a patchouli guy.
That's a great call by you, Greg.
And probably, if he has any free time, a hacky sack guy.
I think he's like a natural deodorant guy, though.
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
One of his girlfriends never works.
Stuff never works.
He might be against the... The products that are not
deodorant, cologne, and lotion. Put it in your repertoire, fellas.
Lotion?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you have to lotion.
I'm out on lotion.
You got to stay hydrated. You got to keep.
I don't like the greasy feeling.
You got to keep your feet moisturized. You got to keep your elbows moisturized. You got to keep your body moisturized.
And I know we have a 90s theme this morning, but mm-hmm. the cologne? I mean, aren't we? I don't know about that, really.
Hugo Boss, babe. Let's do it.
Wait. You guys don't wear cologne?
No.
Really?
I like. I enjoy a cologne smell.
Does Santo wear cologne?
He sometimes, but it's like special occasion cologne, and I'm like, you should just put it in every day.
All the time, right?
Yeah.
There's so many good ones, whether it's Gucci Gilt, there's Tom Ford, there's Versace, there's
really?
So many good colognes.
I take you as a big cologne
every day?
I don't know if you know this, Wiggy, 60% of the time, it works
every time. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was something that was part of the guy repertoire.
I use aftershave.
It used to be.
I think it still is, Greg.
Well, because you can overdo cologne. Like, some guys go overboard, and it's disgusting.
They use it like a high schooler used Axe body spray.
Yeah, but you got to get the good ones. Don't get those cheap ones you get from the mall kiosks.
Kiosk.
Wiggy was a big Dracar Noir guy, I bet, back in the
day. I think feel like everybody wore Dracar. Everybody wore that. What was the... I was good. I like the Egyptian...
Sex Panther? Sex Panther guy?
I like the Egyptian Musk.
Oh, you do?
I like Fierce. Abercrombie Fierce.
Greg's an Elon Musk guy.
Yeah, I remember Abercrombie Fierce. There's some good ones out there now.
All right, anyway, sports, please.
Sorry about
Aaron
that.
Aaron Rodgers?
Greg, The Office, Michael found a perfect smell-alike like Dracar Noir.
Aaron Rodgers talked about what he had to do in the second half to really kind of lock in and win that football game.
Yeah, it was kind of season on the line there in the second half. Obviously, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but mentally, to go to 2-7 would have been real tough. Hopefully, it's given us confidence so that we can beat anybody because we feel like we could. You know, the way we played on offense in the second half is the way we've been kind of waiting for this offense to wake up. And I know, obviously, I was close to perfection as I need it to be, but that's the standard I need to play at. And guys, you know, there's a lot of really incredible performances, Olu, Max, the whole offensive line, Joe, but some role players doing some great things, blocking the run game, making timely catches. Kenny Yeboah, to get him a catch, was really special. Kenny spoke to the team last night, gave a real heartfelt message about how difficult it's been being out for so long and being hurt last year. So to him get a catch like that, maybe stay in bounds next time, Kenny. But
Yeah.
All right.
Obviously, I know I was close to perfection.
Pretty close.
I've been told I was close to perfection again.
I know, obviously, I was close to perfection.
I can't.
Rodgers.
I can't.
Oh, they beat the Texans.
He alone is just a walking ick.
He's insufferable.
The worst.
He's classic.
All right, what's next?
So there's questions in the air on whether Drake May will play on Sunday or not. Yesterday, on the afternoon program with Arcan and Hart, Tommy Curran joined, and this is what he said about the possibility of Drake May playing on Sunday.
Just based upon, Christian, the way he's trending, I would kind of expect him to play using Brock Purdy, who suffered a concussion earlier this year, kind of as a guide. Sustained it on a Monday night, and I think he was ready to go on a Sunday, having been cleared on a Saturday. So while May might not be able to take part in all the live reps, say today, and tomorrow's kind of a different day usually around the NFL for teams who are preparing for Sundays. It's more of a special teams day, but I would, and again, it's not really even in the hands of the team, so you can't ask anybody and say, do you think he's going to play? It would be hypothesizing because you don't know how he's going to feel. But based upon the trending, I would say more likely than not that he would play, but don't hold me to that.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, it seems
really hedging his bets.
He was very active yesterday.
Okay.
In practice. And right. So.
Today's Friday, red zone day.
How pissed are you if you're Jacoby? You're like, I went in and we've won two games. Yeah. I've been the quarterback in both of those games. This guy gets concussed, and they're fast-tracking him.
Well, I think probably after practice, he went to the coaches and said, I don't think Drake is ready for Sunday.
I think he might want to check words him. A bit.
I think he's probably ready to go and ready to play. He wants to. He probably doesn't have any symptoms if he's out there practicing. Yeah. So now it just depends on whether or not the Patriots play him.
Curtis, did you say you changed your mind? Because you were of the mind earlier this week that you just sit him for a while.
Oh, I would not play him. But
you still wouldn't.
Oh no, no way.
Okay.
I didn't think they would, but I was wrong. They clearly want to. Shime was right on this one. Yeah. I cost benefit. I don't get it. I really don't. It's you're setting yourself up for something that is totally unnecessary, and it's not like you're getting hit in the pocket or whatever. What happened? He did everything right. He ran, got the first down, and slid. And then opposing
but they're
player
saying, like. Gerard Mayo saying that he needs to take better care of himself, mm-hmm. or Alex Van Pelt saying he needs to slide differently. Like there,
how would that have been any different though? Like, how could he have done that better?
It would have. I mean, right. Wiggy brought up him diving
head first. Maybe it makes a difference, but he did everything he was supposed to do. Right. I would put no blame on him, as far as him not protecting himself the way he needs to protect himself. I think he did a good job. I think he declared himself pretty early in the slide. It wasn't one of those like weird Patrick Mahomes type of deals. So I would not put no blame on anything that he did wrong that led to his concussion.
Overall, as a runner, he's been pretty safe, right? Like,
yeah.
He tends to get out of bounds. He slides appropriately. He doesn't take unnecessary contact. That's just like an unfortunate play on a guy that hit him late.
Yeah, I mean, in the Twitch chat, somebody says one game is not going to make a difference when it comes to his development. Why would you risk playing him?
I can understand that element. I told you, there's a part of me that is like torn, like, all right, sit him for this game because then it may be.
But if he gives you the best chance to win and you feel like you have some momentum coming
right.
off last week's win,
right.
and it's football.
Yeah.
Play the guy. Like, if they say you can play him, play him.
Right, but remember, right. I'm under a... I'm looking at it from a different fan's perspective. I'm looking at it as develop. You know, I can care less if they win or lose. If I'm leaning one way, the more losses means the better draft pick. That's the way I'm leaning as a fan.
Wait, do you think Gerard Mayo feels like that?
No, but remember, he's not a fan. He's the coach. He wants to win.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he was on this show guaranteeing...
Right.
that they would have more than four wins.
Right.
So
he wants to win as many games as possible. I would be looking at it from the factor of the GM. I want the best possible draft pick. So I'm not saying that they're torn in that building, but if you're the GM, yeah, you want to win. But I think that Robert Kraft has probably given everybody a bill of confidence in that building that, hey, don't worry about the first year. No one's going anywhere. So Gerard wants to win football games. Elliott Wolf probably wants to win football games as well. But I think there becomes a certain point in time in the season where you have to start thinking about the draft positioning. That, you know, that's how I look at it as a fan.
And, Greg, this week they traded one of their best defensive players, a good pass rusher, for a pick in 2 years. So don't tell me they want to win on Sunday when they're getting worse on purpose. So if you're going to trade Josh Uche, why would you rush your future quarterback back from a concussion?
Unless Josh Uche was one of the guys that Devon Godshaw referred to as being selfish, and so they were removing someone being selfish on the defense from the team and didn't care what the pick was.
Yeah, and
they have said, and I quote, they are open for business, unquote, in trading off commodities.
Right. And also acquiring talent, though, Curtis. Like, both reports have
Uche
come out.
Uche wasn't, like, moving on from him wasn't like you moved on from a good player.
He was a starting defensive player.
No, that, 2 years ago, and he wasn't even a starter. He didn't start. The two outside guys were Anthony Jennings and Keon White. I mean, Uche was a pass rushing specialist who had limited action and limited
production. Did the Patriots get better or worse after making that trade?
I think it's no change at all.
I mean, it's just the amount of messaging that is backwards that comes out of Gillette these days, where you sit there for weeks on end and talk about the importance of sticking to a plan because nothing is more important than the future of your franchise quarterback. Then he gets concussed and you're like, we're all systems go to Sunday. It doesn't make sense.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go from one team that's floundering a little bit to another team that's floundering quite possibly even more. That would be the Boston Bruins. This was Jim Montgomery yesterday after the game.
Well, I look at it a little differently. We had a lot of success the last 2 years, and we were first place in the league at Thanksgiving the last 2 years. We never achieved anything we wanted to. Right now, we're not happy. Nobody's happy with what's going on, but we will get out of it, and we will be better, and hopefully it creates a better result come playoff time.
Ah, okay. New approach. Mm. We're going to see what happens if we're in last place at Thanksgiving. Mm.
Hey.
See if that makes a difference.
He's still confident they're going to make the playoffs. He said come playoff time.
Okay. I mean, do you have any hope that this team, the way they're playing right now, is a playoff team?
No, but I think they're still trying to find their identity, Greg. I think it's
identity. They're...
They don't know what they are.
That's an issue.
They want to be this big, bad Bruins team, but the way Montgomery coaches a team is puck possession, so they're trying to find a middle ground. They're trying to find their identity as a team. That's why they're not gelling. That's why he has to mix up the lines all the time. That's why it seems like there's no energy. It's just they're trying to figure things out. And so, like, I don't think you'll see – that's why I don't think Montgomery ends up getting fired. I don't think you see what the full potential of this team is until close to Christmas.
And I kind of agree. Maybe he doesn't get fired midway through the season. But our expectations, and I think most people's expectations was, all right, this team needs to – they need and they should get to the Eastern Conference Finals. If that doesn't happen, he's definitely getting fired. Like if they get to the playoffs, which they probably make, and they're one and done, he's gonzo. Because who expected him to be getting to the playoffs and be one and done for another year?
No, you added to the team. You added significantly.
Yeah.
The only, and you brought it up. We talked about it earlier. It's early. The only question is, did you make the wrong decision when it came to the goaltender?
I don't even think that's the issue. Like it's...
I think you made the wrong...
You have to look at that right now, though. Like, what, we're 11 games into the year? Like, Swayman has not been good. And for everybody that says, oh, he's the guy, whenever you brought up the fact that Ullmark maybe had something to do with the balancing act of being a goalie in this league, and I know that, oh, it's never been done before to, you know, have two goalies that both start in the postseason, blah, blah, blah. Well, it seemed like there was something to that relationship that made him a better player. player.
So no.
Aside
see, you're missing
night,
the.
No, why would you say I'm not missing it.
The problem with, you know who screwed Swayman? Sweeney. That's who screwed Swayman. The reason why Swayman looks the way he looks is because the Bruins and Sweeney, it took them forever to get his deal done. And then by the time he gets to training camp and he gets to, you know, between the pipes, he's now trying to knock the rust off. If they would have did this deal when they were supposed to do it, which was
that you are completely changing what you said when Swayman, when Montgomery was asked if Swayman was going to be in goal, and he said, yeah, if he's good to go, he's good to go. And you were like, yeah, I'm sure he's been working out and stuff, but just because he hasn't been on the ice.
But we know it's not the same. We know that if you don't have a real training camp, and we're starting to see it, the rust is still there. That's on the Bruins. The Bruins, they dangled this guy for however many months they waited, when we're all like, why the hell haven't they signed him? Yeah. So if you sign him, then that means you get him in for, what do they call him, captain's practices?
Well, yeah.
Training camp.
Training camp and preseason, yes.
And he's rusty. So I don't think that Swayman's all
he's still rusty 11 games in?
Courtney, he missed all of...
You think he was sitting on his couch eating Cheetos?
No, but you think it's the same when we had Tuukka Rantanen taking shots in your driveway or in your garage from your 8-year-old versus being out there and really being competitive?
I'm sure that's not what was happening.
And I would say that the benefit of Linus Ullmark wouldn't be seen now. It would be seen later in the season when other goalies are wearing down.
Do you think he's rusty right now because of missing all that time?
No, I think he's not playing well. I don't think it has anything to do with
rust. Why do you think he's not playing well? Outside of last night, which was, granted, a horrible game. I could totally admit that. Aside from last night, though, he's played pretty well overall. Like, the defense has been horrendous. They constantly turn the puck over, and yet
they're not scoring goals. I mean,
100%.
So that's not the issue. We started this discussion with when looking at what Don Sweeney did postseason in the offseason. And saying, I was suggesting the only question really, like, he added to the team. Somebody's texting in like, oh, who did they add? They added Lindholm. They added Zadorov. Like, right. They added to the hockey team. So the only question you could ask is, did you make the wrong choice when it came to goaltenders?
Well, do you feel, Courtney doesn't think so. Do you feel like he's a little bit rusty because he missed that time?
Yes. So maybe we're 11 games in, and somebody says I'm a typical spoiled Boston fan, 11 games in, and we're talking about this team not making the playoffs. So
I think they make the playoffs, but if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, the question is, does Montgomery keep his job?
All right, they said it. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. We're going to get to the news next. And there's been a Legionnaires disease outbreak, and it may limit Wiggy's hot tub action this
and
weekend.
617-779-7937 if you've ever suffered from Legionnaires disease. We'd like to hear from you.
It's time for...
She's spoken at lunch with two popular hosts of WEI, two popular radio personalities.
The news.
She was spotted during trial at expensive restaurants, dining with lawyers, radio hosts, or social media influencers.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Wiggy sold me a bill of rights.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I've made an error.
On WEEI.
Courtney, you brought it up earlier. Before you get to the news, help me out with this, because we have a basic brunch on Sunday to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation.
We do. 10 a.m. Strega.
Strega in the North End. Arguably the most entertaining place to go to brunch that has ever been established.
Mm-hmm.
And a very generous listener bought some spots and then wants to give them back so that we can auction them off.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Three tickets. Sold out. Okay. Brunch is sold out.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay.
But yes, there are three tickets up for grabs.
If you would like them, please call 617-779-7937, and we will get you in on Sunday. at 10 mm-hmm. at Strega.
And it's going to be a nice day, right? The weather's supposed to be
yeah,
nice, right?
Yeah, I think it's not going to be as nice as today. Like, today it's going to be back in the 70s again, Curtis? Maybe record breaking again?
Yeah, it's the last hot day of the stretch.
Okay.
Tomorrow it's going to be in the 50s.
50s, back to the 50s where
which
it normally
still nice.
Is. Absolutely. Well,
as long as the sun's out. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Call, make a bid, and we'll hook you up, and we'll see you on Sunday for the basic brunch.
My parents are coming.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Very good.
Swampscott residents are complaining after blasts at a nearby quarry on Wednesday shook their homes. It happened around noon, and while residents claim it's not the first blast, it's not frequent, but it happens sometimes, it was worse than it's ever been before. We can hear from Pat McBain, who lives nearby on BZ.
If you're shaking houses that much, maybe you shake the gas underneath the houses. So I was very concerned, and I called the fire department. I'm just concerned that if it gets worse and worse, something bad is going to happen to someone, my family or some other family in town, and I care about this town.
Okay. What was it from?
The quarry.
The quarry.
They were blasting.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume they've been doing that there for quite some time, perhaps yeah. even before this particular person bought their home. But
correct.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. With the election just 4 days away, we've had a couple incidents here. One in Stoneham where a woman was seen on camera. Mitch has the video for those watching on Twitch right now. Sprinting onto a neighbor's yard and attempting to rip apart a Trump sign.
Uh-oh.
We can hear from the owner of the sign, Robert D'Amelio.
How is she struggling with that sign? I mean,
it's a strong one.
She's is she an older lady? Or
I think maybe the guy
doesn't have the strength she used to have.
Hooked it to the ground.
Okay. Right.
We can hear from the owner who spoke to BZ.
That somebody would actually park their car halfway down the street, run like a linebacker to my property, go on my property.
Wow. People are crazy when religion and politics, I stay away from those two things.
It's going to get worse. Yeah. It's getting better this weekend.
So far away.
Can I just have one major complaint about the whole political spectrum?
Yes.
Why and when did we arrive at a point where we've reached the your surrogate said this?
Yes.
Like, so it started with the dumb joke at the Trump rally by the comedian, and then Biden was on a Zoom call, and he said something, and then it's like, now Mark Cuban said something, and Sage Steele is enraged. Like, stop. None of you give a damn. You don't care about anything but your own pocketbook and your own things. So don't act like you're holier than thou. If you want your guy to win, support them. But stop acting like you're offended by somebody that's close to them.
Yes, and also, who everybody else is voting for is insignificant. It doesn't matter. Like, somebody has a sign up, some celebrity is telling you how to vote. Like, who gives a royal F?
Yep.
Vote for who you think you should vote for.
Correct.
And then don't criticize anybody else for who they vote for.
Right.
But don't be mad at the person for being hysterical when the entire news media's job is to make you lose your mind.
Oh, why do you need a celebrity to lean you in one direction or the other?
That's the strangest thing going. Like, I don't care. Like, I could care less who they're voting for, and I'm sure you could care less who anybody else is voting for.
Like, it really matters to me who Batman's voting for, though, Greg.
Right. And if you base your vote on what someone close to someone may have said out of context, you are a moron.
Also, Shime, speaking of Batman, do you see Robert Pattinson was outside of South Station yesterday filming something?
Yeah, he's filming a movie with Zendaya. She's also in town. She was spotted eating at like a bakery or something like just under a week ago.
What do they got going on?
She's a big Tate girl. She's always at Tate.
Yeah.
All right. Zendaya. Isn't that Spider-Man's girlfriend?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Maybe they're together.
Is Sunday the last episode of The Penguin?
Ooh.
I'm unsure.
You're not? Okay. Did you catch up finally?
No, I'm going to binge it all when it's done.
I feel
that's
like there's...
That's a weird way to do it.
Nope, it's kind of a great way to do it.
Really, thank you, Courtney.
It's really not. Yeah. I mean, it's episodic. I mean,
because then you walk around going, don't say nothing, don't say nothing, don't spoil it for me, don't spoil it.
No, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. I don't. Yeah. If it's spoiled, it's spoiled. I'm still going to go watch it. I don't care.
I'd rather you don't spoil it. But...
Well, they see that's the thing. Most people...
I'm watching it. I'm just behind.
Right, but... That's why I stay up to breast on everything. I feel like it's like 7 episodes right now. Maybe I'm 10.
I don't think it's staying up to
breast.
What is it?
abreast.
Abreast. Okay. I mean, you know what I was saying.
Honestly, up to breast sounds
works.
Better.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. There was another incident in Cohasset. A 74-year-old guy, Frederick Laidlaw, was charged with defacing of property after he was accused with entering private property along Route 3A on Wednesday and painting a swastika on a Trump sign.
74 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait till I get to that age and I'm retired and I'm golfing or, you know, barbecuing during the midday. I like, how do these people, how is somebody so enraged by a sign on somebody else's property?
Oh, in like a swastika, really? Yeah, like, there was someone coming at me on Twitter the other day and I clicked on their profile and their pinned tweet was like, what swastikas really mean? And it's like, okay, that's when I just have to say I'm not engaging because you're a crazy person. We can hear from the sign owner, Kevin O'Donnell, on WCVB.
You're left with better health soil because then you don't have to spend much time tending to the soil in the spring.
So I hate to say it. I think that was the wrong cut. Courtney said number seven.
Oh,
there's two number sevens. That's why. Hold on. I apologize. Jackson loaded two number sevens. Okay. Here is the actual cut.
Wait, so do you want to apologize to me before
yeah,
you?
I'm sorry. That's why I said I apologize.
Well, you said I apologize, not to Courtney. You know?
I'm sorry. Courtney,
I slandered Courtney's name.
Courtney,
and then...
I apologize directly to you. I am
there you go.
Thank you.
Of all the things to put on a sign, the symbol of hate of the Nazis, swastika, is so inappropriate at any time in America, given the history of that symbol, should never be used.
Never, and especially right now. Ugh.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
All right.
Just a few more days, though. It's all over on Tuesday.
When this is all over.
Also, I don't see two number sevens.
Yeah, me neither.
I just see one number seven.
No. In the system, there's two number sevens. When Jackson loaded it, he labeled number eight as number seven as well.
Oh, he did.
And I just clicked on the first number seven
see, so
I saw.
So now you're pointing at Jackson.
Well, there's two number sevens, so yeah, I'm just trying to explain what happened.
Are they labeled, though, in there?
Yeah, I just clicked on the first number seven. I was trying to cut me off before I finished. I just clicked on the first number seven I saw because that's what I go on, the number.
Chimes means me, and then puffy-faced Gresh in the Twitch says, stop being a bitch, Courtney. Okay.
I wasn't even mean, but that guy should.
Sorry, don't let the. Listen,
I won't.
Courtney, don't let the Twitch
I won't.
Bother you.
I won't.
We're going to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We will be right back with the rest of today's news, including a warning when it comes to Wiggy's hot tub activities this weekend.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.